Park. Park rode his bike by her house over and over one day until her stepdad's truck was gone and one of the other kids came outside to play in the snow. It was the older boy. Park couldn't remember his name. The kid scuttled up the steps nervously when Park stopped in front of the house.
"Hey, wait," Park said. "Please, hey!
Is your sister home?"
"Maisie?"
"No, Eleanor."
"I'm not telling you,"
the boy said, running in the house. Park jerked his bike forward and pedaled away.
Chapter 32. Eleanor. The box of pineapple arrived on Christmas Eve. You'd have thought Santa Claus had shown up in person with a bag of toys for each of them. Maisie and Ben were already fighting over the box. Maisie wanted it for her Barbies. Ben didn't have anything to put in it, but Eleanor still hoped he'd win. Ben had just turned 12, and Richie said he was too old to share a room with girls and babies. Richie brought home a mattress and put it in the basement, and now Ben had to sleep down there with the dog and Richie's free weights. In their old house, Ben wouldn't even go down to the basement to put clothes in the wash, and that basement had at least been dry and mostly finished. Ben was scared of mice and bats and spiders and anything that started moving when the lights went out. Richie had already yelled at him, twice, for trying to sleep at the top of the stairs. The pineapple came with a letter from their uncle and his wife. Eleanor's mom read it first, and it made her get all teary.
"Oh, Eleanor," she said excitedly. "Jeff wants you to come up for the summer. He says there's a program at his university, a camp for gifted high school students." Before Eleanor could even think about what that meant, St. Paul, a camp where nobody knew her, where nobody was Park, Richie was shooting it down.
"You can't send her up to Minnesota by herself."
"My brother's there."
"What does he know about teenage girls?"
"You know, I lived with him in high school."
"Yeah, and he let you get pregnant."
Ben was lying solidly on top of the pineapple box, and Maisie was kicking him in the back. They were both shouting.
"It's just a fucking box," Richie yelled. "If I knew that you wanted boxes for Christmas, I would have saved myself some money."
That silenced everyone. Nobody had expected Richie to buy Christmas presents.
"I should make you wait until Christmas morning," he said. "But I'm sick of watching this."
He put his cigarette in his mouth and put his boots on. They heard the truck door open, and then Richie was back with a big Shopko bag. He started throwing boxes onto the floor.
"Mouse," he said. "A remote control monster truck." "Ben."
"A big racetrack."
"Maisie, because you like to sing."
Richie pulled out a keyboard, an actual electronic keyboard. It was probably some off-brand, but still. He didn't drop it on the floor. He handed it to Maisie.
"And little Richie. Where's little Richie?"
"He's taking a nap," their mom said.
Richie shrugged and threw a teddy bear onto the floor. The bag was empty, and Eleanor felt cold with relief. Then Richie took out his wallet and pulled out a bill.
"Here, Eleanor, come get it. Buy yourself some normal clothes."
She looked at her mother, who stood blank-faced in the kitchen doorway, then walked over to take the money. It was a 50.
"Thank you."
Eleanor said it as flatly as possible. Then she went to sit on the couch. The little kids were all opening their presents.
"Thanks, Dad," Mouse kept saying. "Oh, man, thanks, Dad."
"Yeah," Richie said. "You're welcome. You're welcome. That's a real Christmas."
Richie stayed home all day to watch the little kids play with their toys. Maybe the broken rail wasn't open on Christmas Eve. Eleanor went to her bedroom to get away from him and to get away from Maisie's new keyboard. She was tired of missing Park. She just wanted to see him. Even if he did think she was a perverted psychopath who wrote herself badly punctuated threats, even if he had spent his formative years tongue-kissing Tina, none of it was vile enough to make Eleanor stop wanting him. How vile would that have to be, she wondered. Maybe she should just go over to his house right now and pretend that nothing had happened. Maybe she would, if it weren't Christmas Eve. Why didn't Jesus ever work with her? Later, her mom came in to say they were going to the store to buy groceries for Christmas dinner. I'll come out and watch the kids, Eleanor said. Richie wants us all to go, her mom said, smiling. As a family. But, Mom, none of this, Eleanor, she said softly. We're having a good day. Mom, come on. He's been drinking all day. Her mom shook her head. Richie's fine. He never has a problem with driving. I don't think the fact that he drinks and drives all the time is a very good argument. You just can't stand this, can you? Her mom said quietly, angrily, stepping into the room and shutting the door behind her. Look, she said, I know that you're going through... She looked at Eleanor, then shook her head again. Something. But everyone else in this house is having a great day. Everyone else in this house deserves a great day. We're a family, Eleanor. All of us, Richie too, and I'm sorry that that makes you so unhappy. I'm sorry that things aren't perfect here all the time for you, but this is our life now. You can't keep throwing tantrums about it. You can't keep trying to undermine this family. I won't let you. Eleanor clenched her jaw. I have to think of everyone, her mom said. Do you understand? I have to think of myself. In a few years, you'll be on your own. But Richie is my husband. She almost sounded sane, Eleanor thought. If you didn't know that she was acting rational on the far side of crazy. Get up, her mother said, and put on your coat. Eleanor put on her coat and her new hat and followed her brothers and sister into the back of the Isuzu. When they got to Food for Less, Richie waited in the truck while everybody else went in. As soon as they were inside, Eleanor put the wadded-up 50 in her mother's hand. Her mother didn't thank her.
Park. They were shopping for Christmas dinner, and it was taking forever because it always made Park's mom nervous to cook for his grandmother.
What kind of stuffing Grandma like?
His mom asked. Pepperidge Farm, Park said, standing on the back of the cart and popping a wheelie.
Pepperidge Farm original or Pepperidge Farm cornbread?
I don't know. Original?
If you don't know, don't tell me.
Look, she said, looking over her shoulder. There's your Eleanor.
Eleanor. Park whipped around and saw Eleanor standing by the meat case with all four of her red-headed brothers and sisters, except none of them had red hair standing next to Eleanor. Nobody did. A woman walked up to the cart and set down a turkey. That must be Eleanor's mom, Park thought. She looked just like her, but sharper and with more shadows. Like Eleanor, but taller. Like Eleanor, but tired. Like Eleanor, after the fall. Park's mom was staring at them, too.
Mom, come on, Park whispered.
Aren't you going to say hi?
She asked. Park shook his head, but didn't turn away. He didn't think Eleanor would want him to, and even if she did, he didn't want to get her in trouble. What if her stepdad was here, too? Eleanor looked different, drabber than usual. There was nothing hanging from her hair or magpie tied to her wrists. She still looked beautiful. His eyes missed her as much as the rest of him. He wanted to run to her and tell her. Tell her how sorry he was and how much he needed her. She didn't see him.
Mom, he whispered again. Come on.
Park thought his mom might say something more about it in the car, but she was quiet. When they got home, she said she was tired. She asked Park to bring in the groceries. Then she spent the rest of the afternoon in her room with the door closed. His dad went in to check on her at dinner time, and an hour later, when they both came out, his dad said they were going to Pizza Hut for dinner.
On Christmas Eve?
Josh said. They always had waffles and watched movies on Christmas Eve. They'd already rented Billy Jack. Get in the car, his dad said. Park's mom's eyes were red, and she didn't bother reapplying her eye makeup before they left. When they got home, Park went straight to his room. He just wanted to be alone to think about seeing Eleanor. But his mom came in a few minutes later. She sat on his bed without making a single wave. She held out a Christmas present.
"This is for your Eleanor," she said. "From me."
Park looked at the gift. He took it, but shook his head. "I don't know if I'll have a chance to give it to her."
"Your Eleanor," she said. "She come from big family."
Park shook the present gently.
"I come from big family,"
his mom said.
"Three little sisters, three little brothers."
She held out her hand as if she were patting six heads. She'd had a wine cooler with dinner, and you could tell. She almost never talked about Korea.
"What were their names?" Park asked.
His mom's hand settled softly in her lap.
"In big family," she said. "Everything. Everybody spread so thin. Thin like paper, you know?"
She made a tearing gesture.
"You know?"
"Maybe two wine coolers." "I'm not sure," Park said.
"Nobody gets enough," she said. "Nobody gets what they need. When you're always hungry, you get hungry in your head."
She tapped her forehead.
"You know?"
Park wasn't sure what to say.
"You don't know,"
she said, shaking her head.
"I don't want you to know. I'm sorry."
"Don't be sorry," he said.
"I'm sorry for how I welcomed your Eleanor."
"Mom, it's okay. This isn't your fault."
"I don't think I say this right."
"It's okay, Mindy," Park's dad said softly from the doorway. "Come to bed, honey." He walked over to the bed and helped Park's mom up, then stood with his arm wrapped protectively around her. "Your mom just wants you to be happy," he said to Park. "Don't puss out on our account." His mother frowned, like she wasn't sure whether that counted as a dirty word. Park waited until the TV was off in his parents' room. Then he waited a half hour after that. Then he grabbed his coat and slipped out the back door on the far side of the house. He ran until he got to the end of the alley. Eleanor was so close. Her stepdad's truck was in the driveway. Maybe that was good. Park wouldn't want him coming home while Park was standing there on the front porch. All the lights were off as far as Park could tell, and there was no sign of the dog. He climbed the steps as quietly as possible. He knew which room was Eleanor's. She'd told him once that she slept by the window, and he knew she had the top bunk. He stood to the side of the window so he wouldn't cast a shadow. He was going to tap softly, and if anyone but Eleanor looked out, he was going to run for his life. Park tapped the top of the glass. Nothing happened. The curtain or the sheet or whatever it was didn't move. She was probably sleeping. He tapped a little harder and got ready to run. The side of the sheet opened just a sliver, but he couldn't see in. Should he run? Should he hide? He stepped in front of the window. The sheet opened wider. He could see Eleanor's face. She looked terrified.
"Go,"
she mouthed. He shook his head.
"Go,"
she mouthed again. Then she pointed away.
"School."
At least that's what he thought she said. Park ran away.
Eleanor. All Eleanor could think was that if somebody were breaking in through this window, how was she supposed to escape and call 911? Not that the police would even come after last time, but at least she could wake that bastard Gil up and eat his goddamn brownies. Park was the last person she expected to see standing there. Her heart leapt out to him before she could stop it. He was going to get them both killed. Shots had been fired for less. As soon as he disappeared from the window, she slipped off the bed like that stupid cat and put her bra and shoes on in the dark. She was wearing a great big T-shirt and a pair of her dad's old flannel pajama pants. Her coat was in the living room, so she put on a sweater. Maisie had fallen asleep watching TV, so it was relatively easy to climb over her bed and out the window. He'll kick me out for real this time, Eleanor thought, tiptoeing across the porch. That would be his best Christmas ever. Park was waiting on the school steps, where they'd sat and read Watchmen. As soon as he saw her, he stood up and ran to her, like actually ran. He ran to her and took her face in both of his hands, and then he was kissing her before she could say no, and she was kissing him back before she could remind herself that she wasn't ever going to kiss anybody again, especially not him, because look how miserable it had made her. She was crying, and so was Park. When she put her hands on his cheeks, they were wet and warm. He was so warm. She bent her neck back and kissed him like she never had before, like she wasn't scared of doing it wrong. He pulled away to say he was sorry, and she shook her head no, because even though she really did want him to be sorry, she wanted to kiss him more. I'm sorry, Eleanor. He held her face against his. I was wrong about everything. Everything. I'm sorry, too, she said. For what? For acting mad at you all the time. It's okay, he said. Sometimes I like it. But not always. He shook his head. I don't even know why I do it, she said. It doesn't matter. I'm not sorry about getting mad about Tina. He pressed his forehead against hers until it hurt. Don't even say her name, he said. She's nothing, and you're everything. You're everything, Eleanor. He kissed her again, and she opened her mouth. They stayed outside until Park couldn't rub any warmth back into her hands, until her lips were numb from cold and kissing. He wanted to walk her back home, but she told him that would be suicidal. Come see me tomorrow, he said. I can't. It's Christmas. The next day, then. The next day, she said. And the day after that. She laughed. I don't think your mom would like that. I don't think she likes me. You're wrong, he said. Come. Eleanor was climbing the front steps when she heard him whispering her name. She turned back, but she couldn't see him in the shadows. Merry Christmas, he said. She smiled, but didn't answer. Chapter 33. Eleanor. Eleanor slept until noon on Christmas Day, until her mom finally came in and told her to wake up. Are you okay? Her mom asked. I'm asleep. You look like you're getting a cold. Does that mean I can go back to sleep? I guess so. Look, Eleanor. Her mother stepped away from the door and her voice dropped. I'm going to talk to Richie about this summer. I think I can get him to change his mind about that camp. Eleanor opened her eyes. No. No, I don't want to go. But I thought you'd jump at the chance to get out of here. No, Eleanor said. I don't want to have to leave everybody. Again. Saying it made her feel like 100% jerk, but she'd say anything to spend the summer with Park, and she wasn't even going to tell herself that he'd probably be sick of her by then. I want to stay home, she said. Her mom nodded. Okay, she said. Then I won't mention it. But if you change your mind... I won't, Eleanor said. Her mom left the room, and Eleanor pretended to go back to sleep.
Park. He slept until noon on Christmas Day, until Josh came in and sprayed him with one of their mom's salon water bottles. Dad says that if you don't get up, he's going to let me have all your presents. Park beat Josh back with the pillow. Everybody else was waiting for him, and the whole house smelled like turkey. His grandma wanted him to open her present first, a new Kiss Me I'm Irish t-shirt, a size bigger than last year's, which meant it would be a size too big. His parents gave him a $50 gift certificate to Drastic Plastic, the punk rock record store downtown. Park was surprised that they'd think of that, and he was surprised that DP sold gift certificates. Not very punk. He also got two black sweaters he might actually wear, some Avon cologne in a bottle shaped like an electric guitar, and an empty key ring, which his dad made sure everybody noticed. Park's 16th birthday had come and gone, and he didn't even care anymore about getting his license and driving himself to school. He wasn't going to give up his only guaranteed time with Eleanor. She'd already told him that as awesome as last night was, and they both agreed it was awesome, she couldn't risk sneaking out again.
Any one of my siblings could have woken up. They still could, and they would definitely tell on me. They have very confused alliances. But if you're quiet...
That's when she told him that, most nights, she shared a room with all her brothers and sisters. All of them. A room about the size of his, she said.
Minus the waterbed.
They were sitting against the back door of the elementary school, in a little alcove where no one would see them unless they were really looking, and where the snow didn't fall directly on their faces. They sat next to each other, facing each other, holding hands. There was nothing between them now. Nothing stupid and selfish, just taking up space.
So you have two brothers and two sisters?
Three brothers, one sister.
What are their names?
Why?
I'm just curious, he said. Is it classified?
She sighed.
Ben, Maisie.
Maisie?
Yeah. Then Mouse, Jeremiah. He's five. Then the baby, Little Richie.
Park laughed. You call him Little Richie?
Well, his dad is Big Richie, not that he's very big either.
I know, but like, Little Richard? Tutti Frutti?
Oh my God, I never thought of that. Why haven't I ever thought of that?
He pulled her hands to his chest. He still hadn't managed to touch Eleanor anywhere below the chin or above the elbow. He didn't think she'd necessarily stop him if he tried, but what if she did? That'd be awful. Anyway, her hands and her face were excellent.
Do you guys get along?
Sometimes. They're all crazy.
How can a five-year-old be crazy?
Oh my God, Mouse? He's the craziest of them all. He's always got a hammer or a jackrabbit or something stuck in his back pocket, and he refuses to wear a shirt.
Park laughed. How is Maisie crazy?
Well, she's mean, for starters. And she fights like a street person, like take-off-your-earrings fights.
How old is she?
8? No, 9.
What about Ben?
Ben? She looked away. You've seen Ben. He's almost Josh's age. He needs a haircut.
Does Richie hate them, too? Eleanor pushed his hands forward.
Why do you want to talk about this?
He pushed back.
Because. It's your life. Because I'm interested. It's like you've got all these weird barriers set up, like you only want me to have access to this tiny part of you.
Yes, she said, crossing her arms. Barriers. Caution tape. I'm doing you a favor.
Don't, he said.
I can handle it.
He put his thumb between her eyebrows and tried to smooth out the frown.
This whole stupid fight was about keeping secrets. Keeping secrets about your demonic ex-girlfriend. I don't have any demonic ex-anythings.
Does Richie hate your brothers and sister too?
Stop saying his name, she was whispering.
I'm sorry, Park whispered back.
He hates everybody, I think.
Not your mom.
Especially her.
Is he mean to her?
Eleanor rolled her eyes and wiped her cheek with her pajama sleeve.
Yeah.
Park took her hands again.
Why doesn't she leave?
She shook her head.
I don't think she can. I don't think there's enough of her left.
Is she scared of him? He asked.
Yeah.
Are you scared of him?
Me?
I know you're scared of getting kicked out, but are you scared of him?
No.
She lifted up her chin.
No. I just have to lie low, you know? Like, as long as I stay out of his way, I'm fine. I just have to be invisible.
Park smiled.
What?
She asked. You.
invisible. She smiled. He let go of her hands and held her face. Her cheeks were cold, and her eyes were fathomless in the dark. She was all he could see. Eventually, it was too cold to stay out there. Even the insides of their mouths were freezing.
Eleanor. Richie said Eleanor had to come out of her room for Christmas dinner. Fine. She really was getting a cold, so at least it didn't seem like she'd been faking it all day. Dinner was awesome. Her mom could really cook when she had actual food to work with, something other than legumes. They had turkey with stuffing and mashed potatoes swimming with dill and butter. For dessert, there was rice pudding and pepper cookies, which her mom only ever made on Christmas. At least that had been the rule back when her mom used to make all kinds of cookies all year long. The little kids didn't know what they were missing now. When Eleanor and Ben were little, their mom baked constantly. There were always fresh cookies in the kitchen when Eleanor got home from school, and real breakfast every morning, eggs and bacon, or pancakes and sausage, or oatmeal with cream and brown sugar. Eleanor used to think that that was why she was so fat, but look at her now. She was starving all the time, and she was still enormous. They all tore into Christmas dinner like it was their last meal, which it practically was, at least for a while. Ben ate both the turkey legs, and Mouse ate an entire plate of mashed potatoes. Richie had been drinking all day again, so he was all kinds of festive at dinner, laughing too much and too loud. But you couldn't enjoy the fact that he was in a good mood, because it was the kind of good mood that was just on the edge of a bad one. They were all waiting for him to cross over. Which he did, as soon as he realized there was no pumpkin pie. "What the fuck is this?" he said, flicking his spoon in the rissolamond. "It's rice pudding," Ben said, stupid with turkey. "I know it's pudding," Richie said. "Where's the pumpkin pie, Sabrina?" he shouted into the kitchen. "I told you to make a real Christmas dinner. I gave you money for a real Christmas dinner." Her mother stood in the doorway to the kitchen. She still hadn't sat down to eat. It's a traditional Danish Christmas dessert," Eleanor thought. "My grandmother made it, and her grandmother made it, and it's better than pumpkin pie. It's special. It's just that I forgot to buy pumpkin," her mother said.
"How could you forget the fucking pumpkin on Christmas?" Richie said, hurling the stainless steel bowl of rice pudding. It hit the wall near her mother and sprayed weepy chunks everywhere. Everyone but Richie stayed still. He stood up unsteadily from his chair. "I'm going to go buy some pumpkin pie, so this family can have a real fucking Christmas dinner."
He walked to the back door. As soon as they heard his truck tear out, Eleanor's mom picked up the bowl with what was left of the rice pudding, then skimmed the top off the pile of pudding on the floor. "Who wants cherry sauce?" she said. They all did. Eleanor cleaned up the rest of the pudding, and Ben turned on the TV. They watched The Grinch and Frosty the Snowman and A Christmas Carol. Their mom even sat down to watch with them. Eleanor couldn't help but think that if the ghost of Christmas past showed up, he'd be disgusted with their whole situation. But Eleanor felt full and happy when she fell asleep. Chapter 34. Eleanor. Park's mom didn't seem surprised to see Eleanor the next day. He must have warned them she was coming.
"Eleanor," his mom said extra nicely. "Merry Christmas. Come in."
When Eleanor walked into the living room, Park had just gotten out of the shower, which was embarrassing for some reason. His hair was wet, and his t-shirt was kind of sticking to him. He was really happy to see her. That was obvious. And nice. She didn't know what to do with his present, so when he walked over to her, she shoved it at him. He smiled, surprised. "This is for me?" "No," she said. "It's..." She couldn't think of anything funny to say. "Yeah, it's for you."
"You didn't have to get me anything."
"I didn't, really."
"Can I open it?"
She still couldn't think of anything funny, so she nodded. At least his family was in the kitchen, so nobody was watching them. The present was wrapped in stationery, Eleanor's favorite stationery, watercolor paintings of fairies and flowers. Park peeled off the paper carefully and looked at the book. It was The Catcher in the Rye, a really old edition. Eleanor had decided to leave the dust jacket on because it was neat-looking, even though it still had a thrift shop price scrawled on the front with grease pencil. "I know it's pretentious," she said. "I was going to give you Watership Down, but that's about rabbits, and not everybody wants to read about rabbits." He looked at the book, smiling. For a terrible second, she thought he was going to open the front cover, and she really didn't want him to read what she'd written, not while she was standing right here. "Is this your book?" he asked. "Yeah, but I've already read it." "Thank you," he said, grinning at her. When he was really happy, his eyes disappeared into his cheeks. "Thank you."
"You're welcome," she said, looking down. "Just don't kill John Lennon or anything."
"Come here," he said, pulling on the front of her jacket. She followed him to his room but stopped at the door like there was an invisible fence. Park set the book on his bed, then grabbed two small boxes off a shelf. They were both wrapped in Christmas paper with big red bows. He came and stood in the doorway with her. She leaned back against the jamb. "This one is from my mom," he said, holding up a box. "It's perfume. Please don't wear it." His eyes flicked down for a second, then back up at her. "This one is from me."
"You didn't have to get me a present," she said.
"Don't be stupid."
When she didn't take the present, he took her hand and pressed the box into it.
"I tried to think of something that nobody would notice but you," he said, pushing his bangs off his face, "that you wouldn't have to explain to your mom. Like, I was going to buy you a really nice pen, but then..."
He was watching her open it, which made her nervous. She accidentally tore the wrapping paper. He took the paper from her and she opened a small gray box. There was a necklace inside, a thin silver chain with a small pendant, a silver pansy.
"I'll understand if you can't take it," Park said.
She shouldn't take it, but she wanted it.
Park. Dumb. He should have gotten the pen. Jewelry was so public and personal, which was why he bought it. He couldn't buy Eleanor a pen or a bookmark. He didn't have bookmark-like feelings for her. Park had used most of his car stereo money to buy the necklace. He'd found it at the jewelry store in the mall where people try on engagement rings. "I kept the receipt," he said.
"No,"
Eleanor said, looking up at him. She looked anxious, but he wasn't sure what kind.
"No. It's beautiful," she said. "Thank you."
"Will you wear it?" he asked. She nodded. He ran his hand through his hair and held onto the back of his neck, trying to rein himself in.
"Now?"
Eleanor looked at him for a second, then nodded again. He took the necklace out of the box and carefully fastened it around her neck, just like he'd imagined himself doing when he bought it. That might even be why he bought it, so he'd have this moment, with his hands warm on the back of her neck, under her hair. He ran his fingertips along the chain and settled the pendant on her throat. She shivered. Park wanted to pull on the chain, to pull it into his chest and anchor her there. He pulled his hands away, self-consciously, and leaned back against the door jamb.
Eleanor. They were sitting in the kitchen playing cards. Speed. She'd taught Park how to play, and she could always beat him for the first few rounds, but after that she'd get sloppy. Maisie always started winning after a few rounds, too. Playing cards in Park's kitchen, even if his mom was in there, was better than just sitting in the living room, thinking about all the things they'd be doing if they were alone. His mom asked her how Christmas was, and Eleanor said it was nice. "What do you have for holiday dinner?" his mom asked. "Turkey or ham?"
"Turkey," Eleanor said, "with dill potatoes. My mom's Danish." Park stopped playing to look at her. She popped her eyes at him. "What? I'm Danish. Shut up," she would have said if his mom hadn't been there. "That's where you get beautiful red hair," his mom said knowingly. Park smiled at Eleanor. She rolled her eyes. When his mom left to run something over to his grandparents, Park kicked her under the table. He wasn't wearing shoes. "I didn't know you were Danish," he said. "Is this the kind of scintillating conversation we're going to have now that we don't have any secrets?" "Yes. Is your mom Danish?"
"Yes," she said.
"What's your dad?"
"An ass." He frowned.
"What? You wanted honest and intimate. That's way more honest than Scottish."
"Scottish," Park said and smiled. Eleanor had been thinking about this new arrangement he wanted, this being totally open and honest with each other. She didn't think she could start telling Park the whole ugly truth overnight. What if he was wrong? What if he couldn't handle it? What if Park realized that all the things he thought were so mysterious and intriguing about her were actually just bleak? When he asked about her Christmas, Eleanor told him about her mom's cookies and the movies, and how Mouse thought the Grinch was about all the hoots down in Hootville. She half expected him to say, "Yeah, but now tell me all the terrible parts." Instead, he laughed.
"Do you think your mom would be okay with me?" he asked. "You know, if it wasn't for your stepdad."
"I don't know," Eleanor said. She realized that she was holding on to the silver pansy. Eleanor spent the rest of Christmas vacation at Park's house. His mom didn't seem to mind, and his dad was always inviting her to stay for dinner. Eleanor's mom thought she was spending all that time with Tina. Once she'd said, "I hope you're not overstaying your welcome over there, Eleanor." And once she'd said, "Tina could come over here sometimes too, you know," which they both knew was a joke. Nobody brought friends into their house. Not the little kids, not even Richie, and her mom didn't have friends anymore. She used to. When Eleanor's parents were still together, there were always people around. There were always parties, men with long hair, women in long dresses, glasses of red wine everywhere. And even after her dad left, there were still women, single moms who brought over their kids, plus all the ingredients for banana daiquiris. They'd sit up late, talking in hushed voices about their ex-husbands and speculating about new boyfriends while the kids played Trouble and Sorry in the next room. Richie had started as one of those stories. It went like this. Her mom used to walk to the grocery store early in the morning while the kids were still asleep. They didn't have a car back then either. Her mom hadn't had a car of her own since high school. Well, Richie would see her mom out walking every morning on his drive to work. One day he stopped and asked for her number. He said she was the prettiest woman he'd ever seen. When Eleanor first heard about Richie, she was leaning against their old couch, reading a Life magazine and drinking a virgin banana daiquiri. She wasn't exactly eavesdropping. All her mom's friends liked having Eleanor around. They liked that she watched their kids without complaining. They said she was wise beyond her years. If Eleanor was quiet, they sort of forgot she was in the room. And if they drank too much, they didn't care. "Never trust a man, Eleanor," they'd all shouted at her at one point or another. "Especially if he hates to dance." But when her mom told them that Richie said she was as pretty as a spring day, they'd all sighed and asked her to tell them more. "Of course he said she's the prettiest woman he's ever seen," Eleanor thought. "She undoubtedly is." Eleanor was 12, and she couldn't imagine a guy fucking her mom over worse than her dad had. She didn't know there were things worse than selfish. Anyway, she always tried to leave Park's house before dinner, just in case her mom was right about wearing out her welcome, and because if Eleanor left early, there was a better chance that she'd beat Richie home. Hanging out with Park every day had really messed up her bath-taking routine, a fact she was never, ever going to tell him, no matter how sherry-carry they got. The only safe time to take a bath in her house was right after school, If Eleanor went over to Park's house right after school, she had to hope that Richie would still be at the Broken Rail when she got home that night. And then she had to take a really fast bath because the back door was right across from the bathroom and it could open at any time. She could tell that all this sneaky bath-taking was making her mom nervous, but it wasn't exactly Eleanor's fault. She'd considered taking a shower in the locker room at school, but that might be even more dangerous. Tina et al. The other day at lunch, Tina had made a big point of walking by Eleanor's table and mouthing the C word. The C-U-N-T word. Richie didn't even use that word, which implied an unimaginable degree of filth. What is her problem? Denise asked, rhetorically. She thinks she's all that, Bibi said. She ain't all that, Denise said, walking around here looking like a little boy in a miniskirt. Bibi giggled. That hair is just wrong, Denise said, still looking at Tina. She needs to wake up a little earlier and try to decide whether she wants to look like Farrah Fawcett or Rick James. Bibi and Eleanor both cracked up. I mean, pick one, girl, Denise said, milking it. Pick one. Oh, girl, Bibi said, slapping Eleanor's leg. There's your man. They all looked out the cafeteria's glass wall. Park was walking by with a few other guys. He was wearing jeans and a t-shirt that said, Minor Threat. He looked into the cafeteria and smiled when he saw Eleanor. Bibi giggled. He is cute, Denise said, like it was something certifiable. I know, Eleanor said. I want to eat his face. They all three giggled until Denise called them back to order.
Park.
So, Cal said.
Park was still smiling, even though they were long past the cafeteria.
You and Eleanor, huh?
Yeah, Park said.
Yeah, Cal said, nodding. Everybody knows. I mean, I've known forever. I could tell by the way you stare at her in English. I was just waiting for you to tell me.
Oh, Park said, looking up at Cal. Sorry. I'm going with Eleanor.
Why didn't you tell me?
I figured you knew.
I did know, Cal said. But, you know, we're friends. We're supposed to talk about these things.
I didn't think you'd get it.
I don't get it. No offense. Eleanor still scares the crap out of me. But if you're getting it, you know, getting it, I want to know about it. I want the whole freaking report.
This, actually, Park said. This is why I didn't tell you.
Chapter 35. Eleanor. Park's mom asked him to set the table. That was Eleanor's cue to leave. The sun had almost set. She rushed down the steps before Park could stop her and almost ran into his dad standing in the driveway. Hey, Eleanor, he said, startling her. He was messing around with something in the back of his truck. Hey, she said, rushing past him. He really did look an awful lot like Magnum P.I. It wasn't something he got used to. Hey, wait, come here, he said. She felt something go slightly wrong in her stomach. She stopped and stepped toward him, but only a little. Look, he said, I'm getting tired of asking you to stay for dinner. Okay, she said. What I mean is, I want you to feel like you have a standing invitation. You're just welcome, okay? He seemed uncomfortable, and it was making her uncomfortable, way more uncomfortable than she usually felt around him. Okay, she said. Look, Eleanor, I know your stepdad. This could go a million different ways, she thought, all of them awful. Park's dad kept talking, one hand on his truck, the other on the back of his neck, like he was in pain. We grew up together. I'm older than Richie, but this is a small neighborhood, and I've put in my time at the rail. The sun was too far gone to see his face. Eleanor still wasn't sure what he was getting at. I know that your stepdad isn't an easy man to be around. Park's dad said finally, stepping toward her. And I'm just saying, you know, that if it's easier to be over here, then you should just be here. That would make Mindy and me feel a lot better, okay?
Okay, she said.
So, this is the last time I'm going to ask you to stay for dinner.
Eleanor smiled, and he smiled back. And for a second, he looked a lot more like Park than like Tom Selleck.
Park. Eleanor on the couch, holding his hand. Across from him at the kitchen table with her homework. Helping him carry in groceries for his grandmother. Politely eating everything his mom made for dinner, even if it was something completely disgusting like liver and onions. They were always together, and it still wasn't enough. He still hadn't found a way to put his arms all the way around her, and he still didn't have enough opportunities to kiss her. She wouldn't go to his room with him. "We can listen to music," he'd say. "Your mom doesn't care. We'll leave the door open. Where will we sit?"
"On my bed."
"God, no."
"On the floor?
I don't want her to think I'm slutty."
He wasn't sure his mother even thought of Eleanor as a girl. She liked Eleanor, though, more than she used to. Just the other day, his mom had said that Eleanor had excellent manners.
"She's very quiet,"
his mom said, like that was a good thing.
"She's just nervous," Park said.
"Why nervous?"
"I don't know," Park said. "She just is." He could tell that his mom still hated Eleanor's clothes. She was always looking her up and down and shaking her head when she thought Eleanor wasn't looking. Eleanor was unfailingly polite with his mom. She even tried to make small talk. One Saturday night after dinner, Park's mom was sorting her Avon shipment on the dining room table while Park and Eleanor played cards.
"How long have you been a beautician?"
Eleanor asked, looking over at all the bottles. His mom loved that word.
"Since Josh started school. I get my GED, I go to beauty school, get license, get permit."
"Wow," Eleanor said.
"I always do hair,"
his mom said,
"even before."
She opened a pink bottle of lotion and smelled it.
"Little girl, cut doll's hair, paint on makeup."
"That sounds like my sister," Eleanor said. "I could never do any of that."
"Not so hard,"
his mom said, looking up at her. His mom's eyes lit up.
"Hey, I have good idea,"
she said.
"I do your hair. We have makeover night."
Eleanor's mouth dropped open. She was probably picturing herself with feathered hair and fake eyelashes.
"Oh, no," she said. "I couldn't." "Yes," his mom said. "So much fun."
"Mom, no," Park said. "Eleanor doesn't want a makeover. She doesn't need a makeover," he added as soon as he thought of it.
"Not big makeover,"
his mom said. She was already reaching for Eleanor's hair.
"No cutting. Nothing we can't wash off."
Park looked at Eleanor, pleading. Hopefully she'd know that he was pleading because it would make his mom happy, not because he thought there was anything wrong with her.
"No cutting?" Eleanor said.
His mom was fingering a curl.
"Better light in the garage," she said. "Come on."
Eleanor. Park's mom put Eleanor in the shampoo chair and snapped her fingers at Park. To Eleanor's horror, to her ongoing horror, Park came over and started filling the sink with water. He took a pink towel down from a big stack and expertly velcroed it around Eleanor's neck, carefully lifting out her hair. "I'm sorry," he whispered. "Do you want me to leave?" "No," she mouthed, grabbing his shirt. "Yes," she thought. She was already starting to dissolve with embarrassment. She couldn't feel the tips of her fingers. But if Park left, there'd be no one to stop his mom if she decided to give Eleanor giant, claw-shaped bangs or a spiral perm, or both. Eleanor wouldn't try to stop her, no matter what. She was a guest in this garage. She'd eaten this woman's food and manhandled her son. She was in no position to argue. Park's mom pushed him aside and laid Eleanor's head firmly back into the sink.
What kind of shampoo you use?
I don't know, Eleanor said.
How you not know?
His mom asked, feeling her hair. Feels too dry. Curly hair is dry, you know. Eleanor shook her head.
Hmm, Park's mom said.
She tipped Eleanor's head back into the water and told Park to go stick a hot oil pack in the microwave. It was really, really strange having Park's mom wash her hair. She was practically standing in Eleanor's lap. Her angel necklace hung right over Eleanor's mouth. Plus, the whole process tickled like crazy. Eleanor didn't know whether Park was watching. She hoped not. A few minutes later, her hair was hot oiled and wrapped in a towel so tight it hurt her forehead. Park was sitting across from her, trying to smile, but looking almost as uncomfortable as she felt. His mom was going through box after box of Avon samples. I know it's here somewhere, she said. Cinnamon, cinnamon, cinnamon. Aha! She wheeled her chair over to Eleanor. Okay, close eyes. Eleanor stared at her. She was holding up a little brown pencil. Close eyes, she said again.
Why? Eleanor said.
Don't worry, this wash off.
But I don't wear makeup.
Why not? Maybe Eleanor should say that she wasn't allowed to. That would sound nicer than, because makeup is a lie.
I don't know, Eleanor said. It's just not me.
Yes, you, his mom said, looking at the pencil. Very good color for you, cinnamon.
Is that lipstick?
No, eyeliner.
Eleanor especially didn't wear eyeliner. What does it do?
It's makeup, his mom said, exasperated. It makes you pretty.
Eleanor felt like she had something in her eye, like fire.
Mom, Park said. Here, his mom said. I'll show you.
She turned to Park, and before either of them realized what she was planning, she had her thumb at the corner of his eye.
Cinnamon too light, she muttered. She picked up a different pencil. Onyx.
Mom, Park said painfully, but he didn't move. His mom sat so that Eleanor could see, then deftly drew a line along Park's eyelashes.
Open.
He did.
Nice. Close.
She did the other eye, too. Then she added another line under his eye and licked her thumb to wipe away a smudge.
There. Nice.
See? She said, sitting back so that Eleanor could see.
Easy. Pretty.
Park didn't look pretty. He looked dangerous. Like Ming the Merciless, or a member of Duran Duran.
You look like Robert Smith, Eleanor said.
But yeah, she thought, prettier. He looked down. Eleanor couldn't look away. His mom swooped in between them.
Okay, now, close eyes, she said to Eleanor. Open. Nice. Close again.
It felt exactly like having someone draw on your eye with a pencil. Then it was over, and Park's mom was rubbing something cold on Eleanor's cheeks.
This very easy routine, his mom said. Foundation, powder, eyeliner, eyeshadow, mascara, lip liner, lipstick, blush. 8 steps. Take you 15 minutes, tops.
Park's mom was very businesslike, like someone with a cooking show on PBS. Pretty soon she was unwrapping Eleanor's hair and standing behind her. Eleanor wanted to look at Park again, now that she could, but she didn't want him looking back. Her face felt so heavy and sticky, she probably looked like one of the designing women. Park scooted his chair closer to hers and started bouncing his fist on her knee. It took Eleanor a second to realize he was challenging her to a game of rock, paper, scissors. She played along. God, any excuse to touch him. Any excuse not to look at him directly. He'd rubbed his eyes so he didn't look painted anymore, but he still looked like something Eleanor didn't have words for.
That's how Park keep little kids busy during haircuts, his mom said. You must look scared, Eleanor. Don't worry, I promise, no cutting.
Eleanor and Park both made scissors. His mom rubbed half a can of mousse into her hair, then blew it dry with a diffuser, which Eleanor had never heard of before,
but was apparently very, very important. According to Park's mom, everything Eleanor was doing with her hair, washing it with whatever, brushing it, tying in beads and silk flowers, was dead wrong. She should be diffusing and scrunching, and if possible, sleeping on a satin pillowcase. "I think you look really good with bangs," his mom said. "Maybe next time we try bangs." There will never be a next time, Eleanor promised herself and God. "Okay, all done." Park's mom was all smiles. "Look so pretty. Ready to see?" She turned Eleanor around to the mirror. "Ta-da!" Eleanor looked at her own lap. "Have to look, Eleanor. Look, mirror, so pretty." Eleanor couldn't. She could feel them both watching her. She wanted to disappear, to drop through a trap door. This whole thing was a bad idea, a terrible idea. She was going to cry. She was going to make a scene. Park's mom was going to go back to hating her. "Hey, Mindy." Park's dad opened the door and leaned into the garage. "Phone call." "Oh, hey, look at you, Eleanor. You look like a solid gold dancer." "See?" his mom said. "I told you, pretty. Don't look in mirror until I come back. Looking in mirror, best part." She hurried into the house, and Eleanor hid her face in her hands, trying not to mess anything up. She felt Park's hands on her wrists. "I'm sorry," he said. "I guess I knew you'd hate this, but I didn't think you'd hate it this much."
"It's just so embarrassing."
"Why?"
"Because you're all looking at me."
"I'm always looking at you," he said.
"I know. I wish you'd stop."
"She's just trying to get to know you. This is her thing."
"Do I look like a solid gold dancer?"
"No."
"Oh, my God," she said. "I do."
"No, you look... just look."
"I don't want to."
"Look now," he said, "before my mom gets back."
"Only if you close your eyes."
"Okay, they're closed."
Eleanor uncovered her face and looked in the mirror. It wasn't as embarrassing as she thought, because it was like looking at a different person, someone with cheekbones and giant eyes and really wet lips. Her hair was still curly, curlier than ever, but calmer somehow, less deranged. Eleanor hated it. She hated all of it.
"Can I open my eyes?" Park asked.
"No."
"Are you crying?"
"No." Of course she was. She was going to ruin her fake face, and Park's mom was going to go back to hating her. Park opened his eyes and sat in front of Eleanor on the vanity.
"Is it so bad?" he asked.
"It's not me."
"Of course it's you."
I look like I'm in costume, like I'm trying to be something that I'm not. Like she was trying to be pretty and popular. It was the trying part that was so disgusting.
"I think your hair looks really nice," Park said.
"It's not my hair."
"It is."
"I don't want your mom to see me like this. I don't want to hurt her feelings."
"Kiss me."
"What?" He kissed her. Eleanor felt her shoulders fall and her stomach untwist. Then it started twisting in the other direction. She pulled away. "Are you kissing me because I look like someone else?"
"You don't look like someone else. Plus, that's crazy."
"Do you like me better like this?" she asked. "Because I'm never going to look like this again."
"I like you the same. I kind of miss your freckles."
He rubbed her cheeks with his sleeve.
"There," he said.
"You look like a different person," she said, "and you're just wearing eyeliner."
"Do you like me better?"
She rolled her eyes, but she felt the heat in her neck. "You look different. You look unsettling."
"You look like you," he said. "You with the volume turned up."
She looked in the mirror again.
"The thing is," Park said, "I'm pretty sure my mom was holding back. I think she thinks this is the natural look."
Eleanor laughed. The door to the house opened.
"Oh, I told you guys to wait," his mom said. "Were you surprised?"
Eleanor nodded.
"Did you cry?" "Oh, I missed it."
Sorry if I messed it up, Eleanor said.
No mess, his mom said. Waterproof mascara and Stay Put foundation.
Thank you, Eleanor said carefully. I could hardly believe the difference.
I'll make you a kit, his mom said. These all colors I never use anyway. Here, sit down, Park. I trim your hair while we're here. Looking shaggy.
Eleanor sat in front of him and played rock, paper, scissors on his knee.
Park. She looked like a different person, and Park didn't know if he liked it better, or at all. He couldn't figure out why it upset her so much. Sometimes it seemed like she was trying to hide everything that was pretty about her, like she wanted to look ugly. That was something his mother would say, which is why he hadn't said it to Eleanor. Did that count as holding back? He got why Eleanor tried so hard to look different. Sort of. It was because she was different, because she wasn't afraid to be. Or maybe she was just more afraid of being like everyone else. There was something really exciting about that. He liked being near that kind of brave and crazy. Unsettling how, he'd wanted to ask her. The next morning, Park took the onyx eyeliner into the bathroom and put it on. He was messier than his mom, but he thought that might look better. More masculine. He looked in the mirror. This really make your eyes pop, his mom always told her customers. And it was true. The eyeliner did make his eyes pop. It also made him look even less white. Then Park did his hair like he usually did, flared up in the middle, all messy and tall, like it was reaching for something. Usually, as soon as he did that, Park combed his hair out and down again. Today, he left it wild. His dad flipped at breakfast. Flipped! Park tried to sneak out without seeing him, but his mom was non-negotiable about breakfast. Park hung his head over the cereal bowl. What's wrong with your hair? His dad asked. Nothing. Wait a minute, look at me. I said look at me. Park lifted his head but looked away. What the fuck, Park? Jamie, his mother said. Look at him, Mindy. He's wearing makeup. Are you fucking kidding me, Park? No excuse to cuss, his mom said. She looked nervously at Park, like maybe this was her fault. Maybe it was. Maybe she shouldn't have tried out lipstick samples on him when he was in kindergarten. Not that he wanted to wear lipstick. Probably. Like hell it isn't, his dad roared. Go wash your face, Park! Park stayed where he was. Go wash your face, Park. Park took a bite of cereal. Jamie? His mom said. No, Mindy, no! I let these boys do pretty much anything they damn well please, but no, Park is not leaving this house looking like a girl. Plenty of guys wear makeup, Park said. What? What are you even talking about? David Bowie, Park said. Mark Bolan, I'm not listening to this. Wash your face. Why? Park pressed his fists into the table. Because I said so. Because you look like a girl. So what else is new? Park shoved a cereal bowl away from him. What did you say? I said what else is new. Isn't that what you think? Park felt tears on his cheeks, but he didn't want to touch his eyes.
Go to school, Park, his mom said softly. You miss your bus.
Mindy, his dad said, just barely restraining himself. They'll tear him apart.
You tell me, Park, all grown up now, almost man, make own decisions. So let him make own decisions. Let him go.
His dad didn't say anything. He'd never raise his voice to Park's mom. Park saw his opportunity and left. He went to his own bus stop, not Eleanor's. He wanted to deal with Steve before he saw her. If Steve was going to beat the shit out of him for this, Park would prefer that Eleanor not be in the audience. But Steve hardly mentioned it. Hey, Park, what the fuck, man? Are you wearing makeup? Yeah, Park said, holding onto his backpack. Everyone around Steve tittered, waiting to see what would happen next.
You kind of look like Ozzy, man, Steve said. You look ready to bite the head off a fucking bat.
Everybody laughed. Steve bared his teeth at Tina and growled. Then it was over. When Eleanor got on the bus, she was in a good mood.
You're here. I thought maybe you were sick when you weren't at my corner.
He looked up at her. She looked surprised, then sat down quietly and looked at her hands.
Do I look like one of the solid gold dancers? He asked finally, when he couldn't take any more quiet.
No, she said, sidelong glancing.
You look...
unsettling? He asked. She laughed and nodded. Unsettling how? He asked her. She kissed him with tongue. On the bus. Chapter 36. Park. Park told Eleanor not to come over after school. He figured he was grounded. He washed his face as soon as he got home and sent himself to his room. His mom came in to check on him. Am I grounded? He asked.
I don't know, she said. Did you have a good day at school?
Meaning, did anyone try to flush his face down the toilet? It was fine, he said. A couple of kids had called Park names in the halls, but it didn't hurt like he thought it might. Lots of other people said he looked cool. His mom sat on his bed. She looked like she'd had a long day. You could see her lip liner. She stared at a jumble of Star Wars action figures piled up on the shelf over his bed. He hadn't touched them for years.
Park, she said, do you want to look like girl? Is that what this about? Eleanor dressed like boy, you look like girl?
No, Park said. I just like it. I like the way it feels.
Like girl?
No, he said. Like myself.
Your dad?
I don't want to talk about him. His mother sat for another minute, then left. Park stayed in his room until Josh came to get him for dinner. His dad didn't look up when Park sat down. Where's Eleanor? His dad asked. I thought I was grounded. You're not grounded, his dad said, concentrating on his meatloaf. Park looked around the table. Only Josh would look back at him.
Are you going to talk to me about this morning?
Park asked. His dad took another bite, chewed it carefully, and swallowed. No, Park. At the moment, I can't think of a single thing I'd like to say to you.
Chapter 37. Eleanor. Park was right. They were never alone. She thought about sneaking out again, but the risk was incomprehensible, and it was so effing cold out she'd probably lose an ear to frostbite, which her mom would definitely notice. She'd already noticed the mascara, even though it was light brown and said, subtle, natural look right on the package. Tina gave it to me, Eleanor said. Her mom's an Avon lady. If she just changed Park's name to Tina every time she lied, it only felt like one big lie instead of a million small ones. It was kind of funny to think about hanging out at Tina's house every day, doing each other's nails, trying on lip gloss. It would be awful if her mom actually met Tina somewhere, but that didn't seem likely. Her mom never talked to anybody in the neighborhood. If you weren't born in the flats, if your family didn't go back 10 generations, if your parents didn't have the same great-great-grandparents, you were an outsider. Park always said that was why people left him alone, even though he was weird and Asian, because his family had owned their land back when the neighborhood was still cornfields. Park. Eleanor blushed whenever she thought about him. She'd probably always done that, but now it was worse. Because he was cute and cool before, but lately he seemed so much more of both. Even Denise and Bibi thought so.
He looks like a rock star, Denise said. He looks like El DeBarge, Bibi agreed.
He looked like himself, Eleanor thought, but bolder. Like Park, with the volume turned way up.
Park. They were never alone. They tried to make the walk from the bus to Park's house last forever, and sometimes they'd hang out on his front steps a while, until his mom opened the door and told them to come in from the cold. Maybe it would be better this summer. They could go outside. Maybe they could take walks. Maybe he'd get his driver's license after all. No. His dad hadn't even spoken to him since the day they fought.
What's up with your dad? Eleanor asked him.
She was standing one step below him on his front stoop. He's mad at me.
For what?
For not being like him. Eleanor looked dubious.
Has he been mad at you for the last 16 years?
Basically.
But it always seemed like you got along, she said.
No, Park said. Never. I mean, we were kind of getting along for a while because I finally got in a fight, and because he thought my mom was being too hard on you.
I knew she didn't like me.
Eleanor poked Park's arm. Well, now she likes you, he said. So now my dad is back to not liking me.
Your dad loves you, she said.
It seemed to really matter to her. Park shook his head. Only because he has to. He's disappointed in me. Eleanor laid her hand on his chest, and his mom opened the door.
Come in, she said. Too cold.
Eleanor. Your hair looks nice, Eleanor, Park's mom said.
Thank you.
Eleanor wasn't diffusing, but she was using the conditioner Park's mom had given her, and she'd actually found a satin pillowcase in the stack of towels and stuff in her bedroom closet, which was practically a sign from God that he wanted Eleanor to take better care of her hair. Park's mom really did seem to like her better now. Eleanor hadn't consented to another full-on makeover, but Park's mom was always trying new eyeshadows on her or messing with her hair while she sat at the kitchen table with Park. I should have had girl, his mom said. I should have had a family like this, Eleanor thought. And it only sometimes made her feel like a traitor to think so.
Chapter 38. Eleanor. Wednesday nights were the worst. Park had taekwondo, so Eleanor went straight home after school, took a bath, then tried to hide in her room all night, reading. It was way too cold to play outside, so the little kids were crawling up the walls. When Richie came home, there was no place for anybody to hide. Ben was so afraid that Richie would send him to the basement early that he was sitting in the bedroom closet, playing with his cars. When Richie turned on Mike Hammer, their mom shooed Maisie into the bedroom too, even though Richie said she could stay. Maisie paced the room, bored and irritable. She walked over to the bunk bed.
Can I come up?
No.
Please?
Their beds were junior-sized, smaller than a twin, just barely big enough for Eleanor, and Maisie wasn't one of those stringy, weightless 9-year-olds.
Fine, Eleanor groaned.
She scooted over carefully, like she was on thin ice, and pushed her grapefruit box behind her into the corner. Maisie climbed up and sat on Eleanor's pillow.
What are you reading?
Watership Down. Maisie wasn't paying attention. She folded her arms and leaned toward Eleanor.
We know you have a boyfriend, she whispered.
Eleanor's heart stopped. I don't have a boyfriend, she said blankly and immediately.
We already know, Maisie said.
Eleanor looked over at Ben sitting in the closet. He stared at her without giving up a thing. Thanks to Richie, they were all experts in the blank face department. They should find some family poker tournament.
Bobby told us, Maisie said. Her big sister goes with Josh Sheridan, and Josh says you're his brother's girlfriend. Ben said you weren't, and Bobby laughed at him.
Ben didn't flinch. Are you going to tell Mom? Eleanor asked. May as well cut to the chase.
We haven't told her yet, Maisie said.
Are you going to? Eleanor resisted the urge to shove Maisie off the bed. Maisie would go nuclear. He'll make me leave, you know, Eleanor said fiercely. If I'm lucky, that's the worst that'll happen. We're not going to tell, Ben whispered. But it's not fair, Maisie said, slumping against the wall. What? Eleanor said. It's not fair that you get to leave all the time, Maisie said. What do you want me to do? Eleanor asked. They both stared at her, desperate and almost hopeful. Everything anybody ever said in this house was desperate. Desperate was white noise as far as Eleanor was concerned. It was the hope that pulled at her heart with dirty little fingers. She was pretty sure she was wired wrong somewhere, that her plugs were switched, because instead of softening toward them, instead of tenderness, she felt herself go cold and mean. I can't take you with me, she said, if that's what you're thinking. Why not? Ben said. We'll just hang out with the other kids. There are no other kids, Eleanor said. It's not like that. You don't care about us, Maisie said. I do care, Eleanor hissed. I just can't help you. The door opened and Mouse wandered in. Ben, where's my car, Ben? Where's my car? Ben! He jumped on Ben for no reason. Sometimes you didn't know until after Mouse jumped on you whether he was hugging you or trying to kill you. Ben tried to push Mouse off as quietly as he could. Eleanor threw a book at him, a paperback. God! Mouse ran out of the room and Eleanor leaned out of her bed to close the door. She could practically open her dresser without getting out of bed. I can't help you, she said. It felt like letting go of them in deep water. I can't even help myself. Maisie's face was hard. Please don't tell, Eleanor said. Maisie and Ben exchanged looks again. Then Maisie, still hard and gray, turned to Eleanor. Will you let us use your stuff? What stuff? Eleanor asked. Your comics, Ben said. They're not mine. Your makeup, Maisie said. They'd probably cataloged her whole freaking bed. Her grapefruit box was packed with contraband these days, all of it from Park. They were already into everything, she was sure. You have to put it away when you're done, Eleanor said. And the comics aren't mine, Ben, they're borrowed. You have to keep them nice. And if you get caught, she turned to Maisie, Mom will take it all away, especially the makeup. None of us will have it then. They both nodded. I would have let you use some anyway, she said to Maisie. You just had to ask. Liar, Maisie said. And she was right.